This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You're not going to like it, but the call on the ice was correct. No ball.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You got the Jordan rules and call it now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules. Elbows, feeling them, you touch them, we're in the head, mentally, physically, emotionally.
This is part of the reason why he's the coach right now.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, co-host of Six Trophies podcast, Jason Concepcion. Academy Award nominated actor, Jeffrey Wright. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. It's a Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial if you want to have a chat with any of us. And when I say any of us, I mean just me.
Man, I'm not
included. No, honestly, if you want to talk to Del Tufo, call right now.
Call him. You know, I'm here. It's a Friday. I have my own personal caller.
No, seriously. Okay. I do like it when people call in like, hey, I want to say hi to you, the guys and whatever. It means we're
connecting.
Yeah. Well, I was going to use aspirational.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
We connect.
Hour number one, we just talked with Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Network, NFL Media Group, setting the stage for the Combine next week. I will be in Indianapolis for that. Susie will be here in the chair. I'll be chiming in every now and then from Indy because, you know, that's how we roll. 844 is 204 H number to dial, as I mentioned. Hour number two, kicking off right now with the co-host of the Six Trophies podcast. Very popular program. Shea Serrano is going to be on Monday's show, I believe.
Nice.
We're just running through all this. We're fair and balanced. Joining us here, however, in studio is Jason Concepcion, right here on the Rich Eisen Show for the first time. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for shouting out the suit.
I went in the back. What's the shirt, though?
The shirt is a camp shirt. I guess a Hawaiian style of print.
Okay.
Camp shirt, kind of a fun.
Well, you mean camp? Eagle. You mean campy though? Is
like
what you
a
mean?
Camp, like a shirt that back in the day, like during the Eisenhower era.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
A man might wear while outside barbecuing.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because when you said camp shirt, I thought you meant like something with my name stitched in the back, right, so we know what bunk the laundry should return it to.
Yes, I think the title is a reference to that sort of thing. But yeah, like a classic.
I like it.
Kind of,
but I like this. I appreciate you coming here, and congrats on your success.
I'm
fascinated about this because so many folks will reach out and say, "How do you get started in the business?" You just started tweeting. Essentially, is that what you basically did? Is that what
I said? Yes, okay. Yes, exactly. I mean, I was working as a cater waiter for multiple cater waiter outfits in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I was a delivery guy for my friend's wife's leather company. Had essentially, you know, I went to school for music, and that went as well as you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out you don't need a degree in music to be successful in music if you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of figuring out what I wanted to do. A huge Knicks fan for all my life. I started a Twitter account to follow my fantasy teams.
Okay.
And just started tweeting during games and tweeting during Knicks games, and somehow it took off, and it led me to writing.
Was there a tweet in particular that took it off?
Yeah. Well, let me just first say that I had done a couple of freelance writing assignments for Deadspin, for SB Nation, for a few other places before this tweet. But I did a tweet. James Harden had just been acquired by the Rockets. Daryl Morey had... signed him, and you know, Daryl is a famous quant analytical guy.
Yes.
And it was early in the run, and James was going crazy. And I think I tweeted, I'm going to paraphrase, but I tweeted something like, Daryl Morey is furiously masturbating with a belt around his neck right now, watching this James Harden performance. And shortly after that, Chris
like
Ryan.
A Jip Rossetti type scene, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
From Boardwalk Empire?
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful show, underrated show.
Yes.
And Chris Ryan, who would become my editor at Grantland and later The Ringer, reached out shortly after that and was like, hey, do you want to try freelancing for us? I was like, yeah. And that kind of set me on my way. Crazy story. I know. It can happen to you, kids.
Hey! You never know when some, you know,
I'm trying to find this exact
eroticism might spark your career.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Look at you, man.
It was a shocking development to me and to everyone else. I didn't know that I had a talent for writing until social media kind of told me that, oh, maybe I'm kind of good at this.
That's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah.
Well, again, congratulations and everything that you're building. Wondery's 6 trophies with you and Shea Serrano, Jason Concepcion here on The Rich Eisen Show. It's available wherever you get your podcast, released weekly on Wednesdays. And so how did you become a Knick fan? Are you from New York City?
I'm from New York. I'm from Queens and Long Island, Bayside, and then Bethpage.
Where's the accent?
Comes back when I'm there and I'm talking to my brother. When my brother picks me up at the airport, it comes right out. My girlfriend, the first time we went to Long Island together, was like, "Who are you?" I think I said, "You're busting my balls here?" And then she was like, "Wait a second, did you say that?"
Where did that come from?
Yeah, holy shit.
So you're like Tyrese Halliburton. You've got two voices.
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
The Knicks right now.
Fantastic.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
And I was saying this a few weeks ago. I'm not the only one, clearly, but Jalen Brunson is an absolute revelation.
Yeah,
that he went from being the why in the world are they overpaying for this guy to the savior. He is and I know that phrase gets used so often in New York City. Every Jet quarterback is the new savior.
Yeah,
everybody's a savior in New York City. This dude really is playing the role, though. I mean, what he is turning himself into, because that's what he's done here, is I don't know. The Knicks are lucky. They are flat out lucky to have him.
Lucky is a great way to say it. You know, I think you know this as a guy who's watched the Knicks these many decades.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been on the star hunt, and it's kind of been their downfall. It's like, where's that final piece? Where's that Messiah who's going to take us there?
Sprewell?
Whoever it's going to be, you know, Mello.
Larry Johnson.
Amari, you know, whoever it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
And it's wonderful that it's this guy who grew up around the team, whose dad was a bench guy for the team, whose current coach was an assistant under Van Gundy and saw him. You know, it's an incredible story. And I mean, he's the best player since Ewing.
There's no doubt. You're not wrong.
We have wanted, as Knicks fans have wished for, a real point guard. Haven't really had one. You know, Mark Jackson, I guess, a little bit, and we had, you know, Doc Rivers and different guys who were kind of at the end of their journey.
Yes. Charlie Ward.
Charlie Ward was more famous for playing a different sport. And then to have this guy come in with the ties that he has to the team, succeeding in the way he has. And maybe to your point, maybe something about the unheralded nature of his arrival and that the Messiah tag not immediately being put on his shoulders allowed him to grow into the role, and it's been a dream to watch.
Yeah, I was saying the other day, we were all saying here when I believe we showed the clip from Rich Kleiman in the boardroom basically telling Durant, you know, admit that I was right about, you know, the Knicks being a viable option, essentially. I'm totally paraphrasing here, but he's basically saying the brand is the Knicks brand is a real deal. And Durant basically saying, you know, sure, the brand has always been the brand, but playing for them wasn't cool. They weren't cool to play for. Now they're popping.
Yeah.
And it's Brunson.
It's
period.
Him.
End of story. And
it's
I know
him.
Randall is also another guy to root for who showed up on the team and is now performing excellently. But it is Brunson because it's his team, too. Like any star that might want to come to New York.
Absolutely.
It's Jalen Brunson's team. It's his franchise. It's his building, man. It's the fact of it.
He changed the trajectory of what this team could be. I mean, Julius, before he had gotten injured, had kind of retooled his game, essentially accepting that, okay, Brunson's the guy and I'll do the other stuff. And I'm glad you mentioned that KD interview because couple weeks ago, Clutch notably kind of squashed their feud with the New York Knicks. And, you know, nothing succeeds like success. What this is showing is, you know, the Knicks can't be really ignored in the space anymore. You know, teams, players who might be with Clutch that are looking to for a team might ask themselves previous to the feud being squashed, like, wait, why are we not looking at the Knicks? They're doing well, right? Look at the, and it's been it's just been magnificent. It's been great. It's exceeded my dreams. Hopefully they can get healthy. But this team is fantastic, and you're absolutely right. It's all about Brunson.
And it is, and that may be the case, though, when the playoffs hit.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because we're still talking about Brockman's Celtics. We're still talking about Giannis and the rest of what the Bucks are going to, we assume, improve.
Yeah.
With Lillard, when push comes to shove, the Cavs have been, I know, I'm sure
they're
Cleveland fans are like, listen, New York guys, just chill out, because they're second overall now. We're assuming, you know, Embiid's not going to be a factor. So there, it is essentially going to be, can Brunson, a guard, in a way, put the team on the back and go on an all-timer?
Well, we'll see. We got to get OG back, because he was so catalytic in the four or five games before he had to go out with the elbow injury. Just the way he immediately slotted into what the team is trying to do, the identity they had tried to instill under Thibodeau, which is this gritty defensive team. We're going to kill you on the boards and get second chance points. And he has really facilitated a lot of that, allowed them to get out in the open floor. Hope they can get him back. And, you know, the East is a knife fight right now for everybody under the Celtics. The Celtics are just a class above everybody. Mm-hmm. But Cleveland, I think, really took the loss to New York to heart in the postseason last year. They've decided to crash the boards themselves. They're killing guys from three. It's going to be interesting, and it's just health. We got to get healthy. Tom Thibodeau loves to play guys, lots of minutes. Can this team sustain those minutes? Isaiah Hartenstein has a sore Achilles, has been limited in minutes. You know that Thibodeau wants to play him 40. We'll see.
Jason Concepcion here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your tea leaf reading how LeBron James is... Laker tenure will either end or extend.
Oh, gosh.
What's your tea leaf reading right now?
I think he retires as a Laker. I think that, you know.
When?
2 years.
Okay.
I think it's a couple of years. He still clearly has a lot left. I think the team is playing better with D'Angelo Russell shooting the lights out of the ball. Of course, didn't play last night. But
they also couldn't defend last night.
Defend at all. But I think, you know, it's a legacy play in a different way for him. And I think very clearly with some of the stories that have come out recently with, that the Warriors called the Lakers about LeBron. They kicked the tires around to an extensive degree. Uh-huh. And I think that story and the way it was framed was spotlighted the fact that LeBron said no. LeBron, the Lakers let LeBron talk to the Warriors, and he said no, he wants to stay a Laker. I think he wants to stay there. I think he's always going to be agitating for a better team, but my guess is he retires there.
And I do love backstories in the NBA, and certainly real-time ones. So
yeah.
So I guess the reporting was from Ramona, and I don't know. I think it was like a co-reporting. I'm sorry.
With Woj.
With Woj. Okay. Yeah. Jeez, how could I forget? That Draymond just like the light bulb went over his head one night?
Well,
is that what it was?
Yeah.
When he's retrieving the basketball that
he's
his daughter flipped
second.
over the hedge?
Hold on a
we
second.
Should add this guy.
You know, maybe LeBron wants to come here.
Gosh, he could.
So he reaches for the phone and he calls Joe Lacob.
Right.
Right, who reaches for the phone and calls Jeannie Buss.
Right.
Who then basically goes, listen, ask LeBron.
Yeah.
And call Rich Paul, because you check with him, because if he tells you
that's right,
I'm interested, then I'll be interested, because I don't want people don't want to be here.
That's right.
That's the and then Rich Paul says, we're not going anywhere.
That's right.
That's the way this
is
apparently
framed.
Happened.
That's right.
When you say framed, what do you mean by that, Jason?
Well, I just mean that stories, you know how it works. When they appear, how they appear.
They all get together and say how so it looks good that Draymond's all on board. And that Lacob is listening to a guy who basically,
I think
had to sit for a month.
Yeah,
That's another, that's a positive check mark for the Warriors. It's a check mark for Genie.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's a check mark for everybody.
It's a check mark for everybody. I think the story obviously happened as it happened. I think it also is helpful to come out now after LeBron had been,
hourglassing.
The sand was gone from the hourglass. That's the other. It wasn't even the sand was running. The time had run out.
Now I may be showing my age here a little bit, yeah. Jason. Are there other emojis where there's more sand in the hourglass? Or is that the only choice on the phone?
Just off the top of my head, I believe there is.
There are more choices.
Also, there are more choices.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna look.
You know
what a world we're living in.
A crazy world.
So you think LeBron wants to stay here?
Yeah.
Give it a shot. You know, for the Lakers to have Pelinka try for Trae Young, like take that, shoot that shot here, and run it for next year. Which is kind of wild because, I mean, this is a team that went pretty far last year, further than anybody thought they could.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about those. I know that this is usually a different story. Two great nights in Vegas, you know, but let's not forget that.
It's a team that's capable. Listen, when LeBron wants to call down the thunder, he still can, as we saw in the midseason tournament. And by the way, Adam Silver should thank LeBron every night before he goes to sleep for playing the way he did and legitimizing that, as we saw the All-Star game. What's the thing everybody was hoping? Why can't, you know, one person just really try and grab the reins and play hard in the way that guys used to? And LeBron doing that for the midseason tournament was huge. Yeah, I think that he stays. I think they kick the tires on a number of different stars that they could try to pair with him. And I think they try and run it back. And if it doesn't happen, I think that as a legacy play, I think it's important for him to stay here. But then, listen, if they sneak into the play-in, you never know.
That's true.
You never know. They have that ability to be a great defensive team. They're not doing it now, but they have that ability.
Right.
And you certainly would not want to see them there.
Well, let's take a break and come back.
Just real quick, guys. There are two hourglass emojis.
Oh, yeah? What are they?
There's one that's empty on the top.
Okay.
And then there's one that's like two-thirds full on the top, and it's filtering down to the bottom.
So then LeBron had an emoji choice.
He did.
And made the choice of where the sand's out.
It was a choice.
Yep. Or he didn't know there was a choice and just hit the first one he saw.
It's very possible.
Or this has nothing to do with his basketball
it
future.
It could be.
Fantastic. Great. I'd like to take a break. I've got a potential fix. What you just said kind of sparked a potential fix for the All-Star game.
Okay.
Talk a little TV, pop culture, movies,
sounds
whatever's
great
on your mind.
Yeah.
Chop it up here on a Friday. Right?
That's We're right.
Good? Okay. Jason Concepcion is here. He's got a camp shirt under his suit. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku Channel. Radio audience will return. I was just chatting with Jason Concepcion. You asked me how I became a Knick fan.
That's right.
From Staten Island.
Yeah.
So I was a Knick fan when Rory Sparrow was a backcourt mate with Michael Ray Richardson.
Oh, my gosh. Sugar Ray.
And the Williams, like Sly Williams and the rest of the the Twin Towers. Mm. May they rest in peace.
Who are they?
Bill Cartwright.
Oh, Bill Cartwright, yeah.
And why am I blanking? Webster. What was his name? Gosh. Because they were these two huge centers. Bill Cartwright. And do you want to look that up, Chris?
I'm trying. However, Knicks Twin Towers, I'm getting a lot
Hubie
of.
Hubie Brown? Was that the Hubie Brown era?
Other.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Hubie Brown was the coach.
Did you say Bill Cartwright?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Bill Cartwright. And now I got to do this.
Marvin Webster.
Marvin Webster. Wow. I remember seeing him, Marvin Webster, in a diner out in, Westchester once, and we were so excited. So excited. That was my Knicks teams growing up. And then Hubie Brown took the Knicks into the playoffs.
Bernard King.
In Detroit, in the old Joe Louis Arena against Kelly Trepuka and Isaiah Thomas. And I hated the Pistons. Hated them.
Yeah.
Hated them. And then went to University of Michigan. That's when the bad boys started crushing. And I hated watching the Pistons get good. Hated Bill Laimbeer and Mahorn. And Chuck Daly.
They played in the huge stadium, like they're in the football stadium with the.
Well, they played in the Silver Dome a couple of times, I think, with the white, curtain, with the blue curtain.
Yeah, and their white uniforms always look dingy to me. I can always.
It was the lighting.
That. It was the
is
lighting.
That, yeah. Is that still the most fans to see a NBA game?
Maybe so. Maybe so. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Jason Concepcion still hanging with us here on the Rich Eisen Show in studio. Jeffrey Wright, the Academy Award nominated actor, is going to be showing up here in hour number three. That's how we're rolling here on a Friday. So a light bulb went over my head.
Sure.
I don't know if you could see it. But you were saying that the NBA in general was like, isn't there somebody who we can put on the floor who will treat things seriously for the NBA All-Star game? And I thought of the person.
Who's that?
Draymond Green.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
send him out there. Like, remember Terry Tate, the office linebacker?
Yeah.
And just that's his role, is just to go out there, start banging on. Like, I don't want to see him in an alt cast.
Yeah.
I want to see him suited up. Whether he deserves it or not, he's the one who goes out there and treats it seriously.
So my my co-host, four-time New York Times bestselling author, Shea Serrano, six trophies, new episodes Wednesday, get it wherever you get your podcast, had a similar idea, a designated defender, like a Pat Bev or a Draymond Green type.
Yes.
Just have him out there.
An irritant,
hate on people. You know, nothing dirty, but push the envelope a little. Get in a guy's ribs with the elbow a little bit.
Right.
Block some shots. Dive at the ball. Just make people uncomfortable. Get them upset.
Yeah.
Get them out of their comfort zone.
Right. Don't you think that would turn on, and then suddenly they would start getting riled up, and now suddenly we're posting people up, and we're banging.
I think it's a great idea. How about this? Maybe something like automatic all-star slot for the defensive player of the year.
Okay.
Of the previous year.
The previous year.
Okay.
No matter what you're in.
That could be pretty fun.
Or the top three defensive player of the year players.
Well, what if one of them's Kawhi?
Right.
But this year,
you could have had Rudy Gobert and Wembanyama and Vic in there.
Exactly, which is perfect. If Gobert's there, put in Draymond. Anybody who Draymond has stomped on or hit or choked out, if they're on the All-Star game, Draymond makes it.
Nurkic, Sabonis.
I love LeBron.
We're spitballing here. We're spitballing. I don't know if the league really, the association would kind of dig this, but I mean... You get some people out there.
You need a habitual line stepper.
Yeah. Whoever, and here's the thing. Whoever performs the greatest irritancy, is that the word?
Irritancy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gets the Bill Laimbeer Award.
Wow.
It's named after Laimbeer. Right.
So they renamed the All-Star MVP Kobe Bryant Award.
Right.
Now we have the Bill Laimbeer Award for the All-Star.
Whoever's the biggest a-hole to mix things up and make it feel real. TJ, what do you think?
I'm digging.
We are all over this.
RES Consulting, it's what we do.
This is what we're. You're now an unofficial member of Rich Eisen Show Consulting.
It's an honor to be here. Rich, let me ask you this.
Yes, Jason Concepcion.
As a person who watched Lambeer closely.
Oh, God.
A little before my time.
Wait, starting, by the way, with Land of the Lost, a kid's show where he played a sleestak.
He was a sleestak on Land of the Lost?
Yes, he was.
Chuck-a-wheel.
Yes, he was. Bill Lambeer was a sleestak on Land of the Lost. I had no idea when I was a kid watching Sid and Marty Krofft's Finest about going back in time.
Marshall, Will, and Holly.
Had no idea that I was watching Bill Lambeer at the time. Don't mean to interrupt. Continue your thought.
I'll just say.
That's how long I'm a Bill Lambeer watcher and hater, I might add.
I had a lot of trouble following the plot of Land of the Lost. Anyway.
Yes.
Lambeer, a lot of people compare him to Draymond. Is that a fair comparison?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. That's what I think. I think Lambeer was orders of magnitude worse.
Oh my God.
Than anything Draymond ever did.
Please.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Honestly, Draymond Green is like what? Joe Dumars compared to.
Well, I don't know about that.
Lambeer.
Wait, Draymond has that. Like Lady Bing trophies? Like,
yeah. That's. Don't you remember Lambeer mugged Larry Bird?
Yeah,
like, yes, I do.
Like truly?
By the way, common foul.
Arrested?
Yeah, common foul in the late 80s.
For mugging?
Yeah.
You pull that in Times Square, you are in trouble. So correct.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we just fixed the All-Star game.
I think
let's come up with it. So what would be the start? You know, the five. Pat Bev is a great one.
Because Pat Bev doesn't care.
Mandatory.
Right. And he would piss off the officials too. Right.
Absolutely.
He can grab a camera.
Yeah.
Right. And start showing to people. You know, there's not enough defense. I'm here for this reason. Okay.
Who else?
Gobert
for sure. Marcus Smart went healthy.
Marcus Smart.
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks is awesome.
Dylan Brooks.
Yes.
Well, I think we've put our finger on something. Which is, you know, because I think if you're just going to say defender, OG Anunoby is one of those guys.
Sure.
But you need mouth. He's too quiet.
Yes, correct.
OG's too quiet. Too about his business.
You've got to mix it up. You got to get these guys like saying, "I am actually I am an all-star. I make $60 million per game.
That's right.
But I this guy is pissing me off. I'll show him.
Do you understand how to do a wrestling promo as well as play defense? That's what
on
we
the
need.
Way to the hoop.
That's right. That's the guy we need.
Let me tell you something, brother.
By the way, Grant Williams is kind of low key on this list.
He's low key.
Yeah, he's low key on this.
He talks in a way that
I
don't think he should.
I'm just looking up the technical foul leaders this year.
Nice. Don't look up technical fouls. Look up flagrant fouls, sir. You've got to go next level.
Good one. All
flagrant
right, hold on,
twos.
Hold on.
If you've got a flagrant two, you're in the
you're
mix.
In.
Well, then you got to put
Isaiah
Stewart.
You still, have to pass the test.
Isaiah Stewart.
You got to put Isaiah Stewart in there because he beat you up before games.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Allegedly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, not allegedly. He got arrested.
Well, look, man, I'm just saying. I didn't see it, so.
You're welcome, Adam Silver.
Man.
You're welcome.
We
got to
start making some money with this.
Jason Concepcion here on the Rich Eisen Show. What TV shows are you watching?
Oh, God, we were just talking about Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon. I'm enjoying that.
Which you can see here on Roku.
That's right. I'm partway through that one. I'm watching, on the reality tip, I'm watching Love is Blind with my girlfriend and Vanderpump Rules, which as a L.A. resident is kind of like a local show. Mm. And I'm on a Mad Men rewatch. Yeah.
Yeah, the rewatches are good. I did a whole Sopranos rewatch over
great.
The summer.
Well done.
All the way through.
Oh, God, man.
And the last season for me was the most disturbing watch because I knew what was coming.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so we're watching it through for the first time. You know, there was a little bit of pins and needles.
Yeah.
It was more difficult knowing what's coming.
What's your?
Because I just wanted him to just stop his behavior because he was causing his.
Are we talking
misery.
About John? Or are we talking
about Tony?
Tony Soprano. Yeah. Let me ask you. How do you the finale now?
Yes.
That we're years past it.
Yes.
How do you feel about it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
At the time, though, I was pissed for two reasons. One, I wanted resolution.
Yeah.
Two, we were hosting it in our house with a whole bunch of people. And when when it went black, the whole room turned to me, including my wife.
Yeah.
Like, did you not pay the bill?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What happened? Did you forget to pay the bill here? And I'm like, hey, everybody, I don't know what's going on. The TV's dark for an absurd number of times. Like, it was that long where people were turning, looking at each other, and then turned to me like it was my fault.
Yeah.
What about you?
You
like it now or no?
I think it's brilliant now. And I had the same reaction at the time. I was living in a studio apartment, like a former motel. And it was very possible that I didn't pay the bill. Like when it went off, I was like, I legitimately didn't.
The bed wasn't coin operated, was it, Jason?
It was that kind of spot. It was the kind of place that, you know, when it had the motel signs out front.
Yes.
Would have said, like, we have color TV. It's
on the marquee.
Yeah.
Nice.
But now I think, holy cow, it's the fact that we're still talking about it.
Right.
The way it makes you think about all the things that might happen to Tony. Forget what happened to him in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's waiting. He's going to be there, whether it's then in that diner, after, a month later, that guy's going to be there at some point. The way it made me think about that, I just think it's brilliant.
Well, it's just so difficult to end a long-running show.
Really is.
Coming up with something that is not only satisfying in terms of plot conclusion,
yeah,
but also just watchability, where it still has the same sensibility of the hit of the most, the lion's share of the hit years.
Yeah, it's really hard.
So, I mean, I bring up Lost. Lost had one of the best first seasons ever. Where it was groundbreaking, mind blowing, and then I just don't know what the hell happened after that. I mean, what would you say is one of the more satisfying final seasons of a show where they got it right? Even Chris curses Game of Thrones now after loving it for
ready,
as long
Jason?
As he did.
Ready, Jason? I wish I never watched it.
No, come on,
complete
Chris.
Waste of time.
No,
the final
you
season
don't.
Of Game of Thrones
it was so bad,
so upset him.
Here's the deal: as great as the first seasons were, that's how equally bad the last season was.
He won't even give House of Dragons a try
because House of Dragons is great.
I enjoy it
they
too, by the
me.
Way.
I am the official podcast co-host of House of the Dragon on HBO. Well get it wherever your podcast.
Nice.
And so take this with a grain of salt, but it's great. Here's the thing about Game of Thrones, the final season. First of all, I think up until Night of the Seven Kingdoms, brilliant episode, made me weep. Even up to the Winterfell episode, great season. I think for me, the fact that people cared that much is part of the magic of television. I enjoyed the ride. I understand people were disappointed by it. I loved the ride.
Of course, it was
a tremendous thing for
he's me also
personally.
He's also the type of guy, and they say here all the time, yeah. Well, I don't want to go there about would you rather be blown out or would you rather just lose
it
a close one?
It just seemed like they got sloppy and they just kind of rushed it, and it was unnecessary. They could have taken as much time as they wanted. HBO would have given them all the runway they needed, and they're like, no, we're good. We're going to do it in 6-7 episodes, whatever. Why? Well,
they also didn't have the source material. Yeah. By the way, they didn't have the source material to work
George.
Off of.
George.
We're still waiting. We're waiting on pages.
We've been waiting 14 years.
Number of times
now.
That I see him write about the Jets instead of like finishing this damn,
I am on the
saga.
We're going to get the next book.
Okay.
I believe that. I'll say
and,
that.
And what happens first? The Knicks win a championship or we get this final book?
Oh.
Man, I'll tell you what, the championship thing, I would have had a different answer before
season. Look out.
Sticking the landing, Mad Men, I think one of the most perfect buttoned up.
I thought the final episode of that was amazing.
Amazing.
And how they tied it into one of the more famous TV commercial campaigns of all time and how he would come up with it.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that. You know, it's another one as well. I don't know if you watched Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Did you ever watch that?
I didn't get into Maisel.
Listen, it is a spectacular television show.
Okay.
And the final, it's the acting, the writing is spectacular. And, you know, straight up, I will watch Rachel Brosnahan read a phone book. But the last season is perfect. It's truly one of the greatest final seasons I've ever seen. It's satisfying. It gives you a storyline. It brings seasons together. It's moving. It's hilarious. The final scene is perfect. It's great.
Seinfeld?
Seinfeld,
it made me laugh.
I know it made you laugh.
You know the final episode, the two-parter?
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
It was funny.
Uh-huh.
But it was like goofy, kind of like the whole show was.
I tend to skip everything about season 9 of Seinfeld. I just don't even
I have zero complaints about Seinfeld. Zero. Yeah. And I will never have a single complaint about Seinfeld. I'm trying to get my oldest son to start watching it because he loves comedies. He loves 30 Rock. He binged watched all of Modern Family. He loves Only Murders in the Building. And I'm like, you would love Seinfeld. And then I'm like thinking to myself, how would he understand a payphone episode? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. They miscommunicated because they couldn't get in contact with each other? Like, what's up with that?
You had to kind of change.
As I'm Snapchatting away. You know, like, there are some interesting moments like that. What'd you think of the Succession finale?
I loved it.
Me too.
Just a show that really grabbed me. I'm proud to say I was there from season one.
Me too.
Even through the shakiness up to, you know, when it really took off in the middle of that season, I just, one of the most high quality seasons.
Like a rocket ship, by the way.
Like a rocket ship.
I remember the first couple episodes of Succession, my wife and I were watching it. And we're like, why do we care about any of these people?
They're all so terrible.
Awful, terrible human beings. There's nothing that wants me to be sticking around at all because they're such horrible people. And I forget what episode it was, but it was so fantastic. And it kept on going straight up like a rocket ship is the only analogy.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a show that's supposedly a drama that's made me laugh out loud more than Succession.
I think for me, it was getting used to the visual language because it is a dark comedy. You are watching these people at their worst. It's one of those few shows about wealth that makes wealth look like a terrible time.
Yes.
And once I figured out, oh, this isn't a drama. They're shooting it this way for a reason. And then the performances really started to get to me. And for me, I think it was that episode where Tom and Greg go to that weird restaurant and they eat the birds with the napkins over their heads so that you could, I forget what the turn of phrase, like soak in their misery of these small birds or something like that. And I was just like, wow, this show is crushing it. How about this for Stuck the Landing, Eastbound and Down.
I didn't see the final season of that, I admit. You're already laughing over there?
I'm just laughing because the whole idea of that show is so absurd. It's and absurd. The performances of Danny McBride and everyone involved is just so ridiculous.
The character of Tom Wamsgans from Succession is, if you had to have like a Mount Rushmore of characters who makes you stop whatever you're doing because every appearance they have is the phrase I like to use is like cotton candy. They steal the scene. They're funny. They're brilliant. I would put him on there to use your Mad Men phrase, Roger Sterling.
Oh, I love Roger Sterling.
Anytime his character shows up, John Slattery plays him.
Yeah.
I guess Al Swearengen from Deadwood. Anytime he would show up on the screen.
Tyrion Lannister.
That's a good foursome there.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good foursome right there where just anytime they show up, it's a showstopper.
You know you're going to get a line that's going to kill you.
And then Succession just reached the pantheon of a pop culture iconic show because it filters in your mind when other things happen in life. Yeah. Just yesterday, we were in our text exchange explaining Sean Mitchell, who's at home right now, our digital coordinating producer who tracks everything on the show. He texted us that there's a moon landing.
Yeah.
First time in decades coming up. And we start texting. He's like, I hope Roman Roy isn't in charge of it. You know? And then we start texting around. I think Hoskins put on our text exchange of that scene where he's watching it on his computer screen. You know, all the emails coming through, you know. That's how Succession is taken over, you know?
And for me, you know, that show, Tom in particular, you know, in the media, the corporate space of media, there's always a person like Wamsgans where you're like, you're going to survive. whatever happens, the nuclear bomb hits this industry.
We know him. I know Mount Rushmore. Yeah.
The nuclear bomb hits this industry. We're
McAfee
all
called
gone.
One out.
You're going to be here.
I just said it.
Wow.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
That
you
happens.
You have that instinct to be near the thing that will keep you safe and allow you to succeed. And that just resonates with me. What an incredible character.
Oh, man. Hey, this has been a fun maiden voyage. Do you live out here or you don't?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Let's,
anytime.
Okay. Did you go high register there?
All the time.
That was the second voice.
When you know,
yeah, that was my other voice.
No, the higher register is you know, when somebody says something they don't really mean, they go higher register. Or they need to go
higher.
Well done.
You want to have me back?
Check out Wondery's 6 trophies with Jason Concepcion and Shea Serrano. Shea's on Monday's show. Great fun chat with you, Jason Concepcion. Available wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes release weekly on Wednesdays. Greatly appreciated, sir.
Thank you.
You got it. We're back with a story out of Major League Baseball that you have to see to believe, and I mean every word of what I just said.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Do you think Tony Soprano lived or died? Where do you stand?
I think he died, but David Chase might have said he didn't. I mean, that's just my opinion and interpretation. I have no inside
that
knowledge.
That he got whacked in that diner. You believe that?
Yeah, but that's just my opinion. I think I forget what he, recently he might have said something that he doesn't die or he's not sure, but yeah. I mean, the ending has been very talked about, you know, often and controversial, but I always thought it was appropriate way to end that show. I think anything really concrete would have been out of character for the show because David Chase didn't like to wrap things up in tidy little knots and bows and stuff. You know, everything had a very open-ended, ambiguous kind of quality, which I think is more interesting in a way. It was airtime Sunday night when it really aired, and we went into a private room to watch it. None of us had seen it.
Nobody had seen it yet.
No, we all watched it together for the first time.
Did you not know how it was going to end at all?
I had an inkling because I remember David mentioning something about everything going to black like a year before, but I didn't really know what he meant.
Uh-huh. Right.
So we were watching it, and, you know, it's getting close to an hour, so you know that it's ending. And then the song came on, and I'm looking at the guys, and it was, you know, it was very emotional because I'm like, this is the end of a lot of things because this is, you know, this is the end of, you know, 10 years. It was really a 10-year span that we collaborated and spent all this time together. And, you know, that it went beyond just the show and became about our relationship as actors and as friends.
Sure.
And stuff. So it was a really big moment. And then it went to black and we were all, some of us were more shocked than others, but we were all kind of, you know.
I love Michael Imperioli back on the Rich Eisen Show. Game time tickets. Get your mobile phone, get your tablet, any mobile device, and put the Game Time Tickets app on it and start buying tickets, create an account. We're going to give you a promo code in a second how you can get $20 off your first purchase. And when you pop up the Game Time app, you'll see how easy it is to use. You can buy tickets in 2 taps. And if you want to take a little bit more time and say, let's take a view from the seat, look, you can get the entire view from the seats. You know how far you might be from the stage or the ice, or the court, or there's an obstructed view, you don't want to buy that ticket. And then before you buy your ticket, they give you all-in pricing, so there's no sticker shock. You see the entire cost of your transaction up front before you hit buy. The guesswork's totally removed when you buy tickets with Game Time. So download the app, create your Game Time account. Use my code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, it is guaranteed. So, great chat with Jason Concepcion. I am fired up to have Jeffrey Wright back on this program in studio. His film, American Fiction, is fantastic. And Sterling K. Brown is fantastic in it. They are both nominated for acting awards. The screenplay, Best Adapted Screenplay, Cord Jefferson was nominated for that. He's a director of this film. It is fantastic. TJ, you saw it as well, correct? You give it the two thumbs up as well?
I give it Around the World and Back Again.
And so Jeffrey Wright loves himself some, he fights for old D.C., Washington football. I wonder if he wants the Commander's name changed. So we'll chat with him. He's also a fan of the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm wondering what he thinks of the direction of that franchise. So Jeffrey Wright's in studio. Listen, we're baseball people here. We're baseball people. Before I joined NFL Network, kiddos, and started doing this radio show for coming up 10 years now, I was the very first voice you heard when ESPN Radio started broadcasting MLB games. I was the first in-studio host of Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio. I called baseball games. I was a baseball guy for ESPN. Covered World Series. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. I'm just laying out my bona fides for all those kids out there who might be Snapchatting us right now. All right? So it just seems to me that baseball frequently, the stories are all about when it gets the biggest attention when, say, there's an unwritten rule that's broken and people get all up in arms about it, right? Or there's rule changes. Like last year, and it improved the game. The pitch clock, I was way against it until I saw it, and now I'm for it, right? And the bigger bases, and as you know, getting rid of the shift has just been, it's just a delight. And but there's just really no conversation about, well, who do you think's going to win, right? When training camp opens in the NFL, we're talking about who's got a chance to win. Maybe it's just because a lot of folks, teams, they know they got no chance to win or anything like that, but it's still an incredible game. It's a mental game. It's an exciting game. When the playoffs hit, it's funny. In May or June, whenever somebody reaches base against the Yankees, I'm like, oh, okay. If that happens in October, I'm like, game over.
Yep.
You know, it's an irrational way of viewing things, right?
It's fun.
But sometimes just baseball can't get out of its own way. And maybe the conversation as to who wins and who might not win this year has been totally removed because we're all assuming it's going to be the Dodgers. But that's my long-winded setup. My Luis Tiant windup. Now here's the pitch. Story in Major League Baseball right now is about, wait for it, the uniforms. There are new uniforms this year. Now, and all 30 clubs are not wearing new designed uniforms, really, with the... Some of them are changing color schemes and logos and jerseys and whatever.
Well, since Nike took over, they have the City Connects and all the different color schemes. Yeah.
Yankees don't do that. They still just wear their away grays and their pinstripes at home, and that's it. They'll just put a star insurance patch on a sign, right? But it's a different design in terms of what the fabric looks like.
The material, I think, used, yeah.
So I don't know who the Costanza was here to say, let's go cotton uniforms because it breathes. But somebody did, and they changed it. And you might think that the design is imperceptible to change, but I've never said these words before. Take a look at Ohtani's pants. And it looks like there's a different color at the top and the bottom. No, it's because you could see through the pants, and you could see where they're tucking the jersey in. Look at Yamamoto. You could see the jersey tuck. Did nobody notice that you could see through?
Looks like they're wearing tighty whities.
Looks like they're wearing underwear. You could
like extra underwear tucked in, but no, it's
did
the jersey.
Did nobody notice this?
Hey.
You could see the jersey tucked in.
God, that looks terrible.
And then there's a couple of guys who are. I don't know if there's any Mariners doing it. Cupless in Seattle. And it leaves very little to the imagination.
Cupless in Seattle.
Let me just put it this way. It's funny. It's been a long time since we talked about the big unit.
My balls was hot.
No, apparently they're not. That's the point of this. Apparently they're a perfect temperature.
By the way, those pictures we showed were a little bit more tame than some of the ones.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot other.
Some of the ones on Twitter.
Look, it's a family program here
we're
on
trying.
The Roku channel.
Some of the ones on Twitter, you got real familiar with some of these players.
It looks like it's a family planning channel.
Two balls, no strikes.
I can't imagine. That's the count.
You can see these dots.
Wow.
Come on.
Stop
Mike.
It. All right. Now, see, I'm trying to subtly go down this road.
We're dancing around
I'm
it,
sorry.
Mike.
I mean, and you're just trying to take the hammer and hit it on.
Wait,
hold on a second.
Wait a second. Wait.
Oh. So baseball is attempting to rectify the situation between now and opening day?
I don't know if there's enough time.
But apparently the players can't wait for closing day on these uniforms.
Oh, right. Don't let it have a rain game.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's the top story on the stack.
It's a top story, right?
Yeah.
Because the Players Association is involved, and baseball's like, our member clubs will be ready.
So the players don't like the jerseys nor the pants.
By the way, it gives new meaning to member clubs.
There's so much
Stop
I
it.
Want to say, but
no,
I
don't
can't.
Say it.
I'm not.
I'm trying not to look
this
at either
is
of
not
you, or I'm
good.
Just going to keep laughing.
None of this.
I'm done. I'm just, no.
It gives new meaning that here comes the judge.
In Switzerland,
stop.
Only one guinea pig.
Stop. Because thanks for watching the rest of this show, please.
Unbelievable.
Listening.
Wow. You think Roku Joe's like, do they have a dump button? Do they have a dump button?
Nope. I got it.
Do these, I think these uniforms have a dump button. What is going on? Did nobody notice? Look at that shot of
not, it's
look
not
at this.
A seam that anybody.
You could see the jersey is tucked into these pants.
That's all you can see.
You're not going to like it.
Oh, you could see the tag in the jersey. Look at that.
Lighter feel, they're called performance jerseys.
Oh, so it gives you more ability to perform.
I guess.
But guys, according to Caroline Means, who's married to O's pitcher John Means, quote, wives are fine with it.
Okay.
So take that as you will.
Chicks dig the long pants.
I think the single.
It's a new commercial.
I think the single players are in favor of these jerseys. Look at that.
Did nobody notice, like, Ohtani's jersey is tucked into his pants and you could see, you could see the jersey end right around his thighs?
It's Ohtani's.
Dude.
Boom!
Wow. I'm not saying anything.
So that's the way we're covering the top story.
Look, this is what the people want. We got to give it to them.
I don't know. This is what the... the news is. We just follow the news.
We're following the news.
Look, that's all we're doing.
The top story, guys.
We're just trying to touch them all.
Sorry, folks.
I'm done. That's it.
That'll wrap up hour two. We're going to class the place up with Jeffrey Wright, hour three.
Wow. We need it.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro. And she'd be like, what song? At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other. And I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.